All right, so today we're speaking to Mr. Todd Burks from Cleveland, Ohio. Is that right?
Actually, I'm from a town called Canton, Ohio, which is
Okay.
about an hour south of Cleveland.
Okay.
So you have Cleveland, Akron, and then Canton, just going down the highway. And it's, but we're, when I'm talking to people who are not from Ohio, then I would say Cleveland.
Okay. When I was a kid, my dad took me to watch a really bad football team. So he's responsible for spoiling all of my Saturdays forever. And because of you, I'm a fan of the Cleveland Browns. So you're responsible for spoiling all of my Sundays. So the whole weekend is a mess now. Good season, though.
They had a strange season. So they made the playoffs. They won a lot of games, but they got in trouble, or they traded a whole bunch of draft picks and capital and signed this quarterback who was this controversial figure because of sexual misconduct. He was a former star player, and they desperately went after him and paid him all this money.
From Dallas, was it?
Houston.
Houston, sorry.
And so it made them a team that, usually a Cleveland persona is we're the lovable losers,
Right.
which, that's why you like them,
Yeah, that's
probably.
why I it was you or the Jets, I had two choices,
Yes,
yeah.
yes. But they were the lovable losers, and that's kind of our persona coming from Cleveland. We don't win, but we're good, and we're loyal, and I think it's why I always liked your take on the Welsh "We're Still Here" song,
Yeah, so I remember that. That was funny. So Cleveland is like Canada. It's this
Yes.
kind of nice people, but we're not sure what to do with them.
Yeah. And so signing this guy kind of put us in this other place where we were the villains all of a sudden.
Oh, because of the
That's,
sexual stuff. Yeah, okay.
yeah. And just trading the values of Cleveland for this guy. But so it was kind of weird because a lot of people didn't know what to do with, do we root for this team or do we not root for this team? And but then he got hurt early in the season.
Which helped.
But somehow they kept winning, and then all their quarterbacks kept getting hurt. They played like four or five different quarterbacks, and somehow they kept winning. And so it was a fun season, but it ended poorly. But it was
It
fun.
ended, yeah. So Canton.
Yes,
Right,
Canton,
okay.
Ohio.
Famous for.
It's famous for football, actually.
Okay.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame is in Canton, Ohio. It's where the sport supposedly became American football, I should say.
When they started passing it forwards, aside.
Yes, it's apparently where the sport got started.
Okay.
And so the Hall of Fame is there, and it's a big football area hotbed. And so it's and part of Ohio that is, it used to be the industrial part of the city or of the state. So along the Great Lakes and, steel, rubber, automobiles. It was in that thing. And then when all of that stuff came to an end, it's become a very kind of depressed area. Used to be very diverse, and now it's become kind of like a lot of the states where you had all this diversity and stuff. I mean, it's still a diverse population, but the politically it's become much more reactionary, and it's kind of moved in a different direction now.
So it's much more like Trumpy,
Yes, exactly. The state has become very Trumpy,
wow.
and it's, it used to be a state that you could kind of, however Ohio was going is kind of how the country would go. It kind of represented the country, but now it's moved very far to the right. And
And in the last elections, it was for Trump or Biden.
yes, Trump won easily.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and it used to be whoever won Ohio usually won the whole thing, but now it's moved firmly into this other camp.
Why are poor working class people voting for a megalomaniac
That's
billionaire, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I'm not
a very
American,
good
no
question.
opinion, but tell me.
It's a very good question. There's some kind of appeal. He has a very good, he knows how to talk to people and make them feel like he's on their side. And people don't necessarily look at the politics or at the policies. And I could say a lot about that, but it's kind of surprising. People from where I'm from, working class people, used to be union people. A developer from New York who was this hotshot kind of guy, you would never have imagined attracting the people in Northeast Ohio or in Ohio in general. And somehow he's been able to do that. So,
I
I
mean,
mean, that's the story of Donald Trump in the United States, period.
one thing we have in common is that neither of us live in our countries. We're both in France. Do you think
Yes.
that does that make you feel a bit ill at ease when you're giving opinions on stuff that's going on back home because we're not there and it doesn't really concern us a day to day?
Well, some ways, yeah. But on the other hand, being outside of something allows you to see stuff that people inside can't see sometimes. I don't know if you feel that way about Wales.
Oh yeah.
Like I saw things change in the country. I would go back. I used to go back every, I don't know, a couple of years, when my kids were younger, and I would go back to visit people there, see my family. And something changed starting after September 11th in 2001, was that? After that time, like I noticed, it was a big thing for everybody. Even here in France, it was a big deal. But it really changed the psyche of Americans, I think, because they, before that, I don't think we ever thought we were vulnerable. We didn't go through having our country bombed in the wars, and we didn't have, thousands and thousands and millions of people die in wars and things like that. And we felt isolated from all that. We have an entire continent to ourselves, and we're pretty felt pretty safe from invasion and all these sorts of things. We don't feel threatened by Mexico and Canada, for the most part. And so September 11th did something to the psyche, because it was like, oh, we can be attacked. And
So you need an enemy, I suppose.
it made people feel afraid. I think Americans were never afraid before. And I realize fear doesn't bring out the best side of people, right?
Not necessarily, yeah.
And it brought out this kind of, it's us or them, so it's going to be them. We're going to crush people, and it brought out that kind of attitude in people. And little by little, I saw things change. Again, when I met you, and I know at that time I was working a lot on this idea of reconciliation.
All right, yeah, I remember that conversation. And there was
Yeah.
whiskey, there was some whiskey involved in that conversation as
Yes,
well,
there
which
definitely
didn't
was.
help me reconcile the next day. I nearly got fired after that. Thanks very much. We haven't spoken since, but yeah, I went to work kind of really not, I don't know if I was still drunk, but I was something close to drunk.
I think you were kind of drunk before you got to my house, maybe.
Is that right?
I think
I
you had
don't.
done a show. You had done a show,
Oh,
right?
possibly.
I think you had done a show, and I was there, and then you came back home with me. So I think you had a bit before that, and then probably whiskey became involved, because I don't
Well,
remember being that drunk
I
myself.
actually went to sleep on the couch because that's where I was
Yeah.
sleeping. But then you got
Yes.
up in the middle of the night to watch a football game, or I think it was football.
Ah,
And so
yes.
then there was like a second round of so just as I was
Okay.
starting to feel normal again, it started
Okay.
again. Except I had to get up at 7 or something to go to work, and I was
I get
late,
it.
and it was just a disaster.
And I probably was happy to have somebody to watch a Browns game with me.
and I didn't could understand anything that was going on the screen at all. Who's this team, and why are they losing? Why are they so bad? Why do they suck so much? You know? Actually, you mentioned Umma Ohid, which is a
Yes.
song I used to sing in back in the day. Did you know? And it was like this niche folk song from a long time ago. Last year, it was number one in the iTunes charts and has now become the song that all of the Welsh football supporters sing before games. So
Wow.
you've got like 80,000 people singing this song that at the time only this very small number of people actually knew, which is really weird.
Wow. Wow. It became a hit off of whose version of it?
David
Okay, so
Iwan.
it wasn't your version.
No, unfortunately, they invited him to sing it in before a game, and it went down so well because it's a catchy chorus, isn't it? Oh, no,
Yeah, I love that song. It was great.
it was great, and the story before, and
Yeah.
so yeah, it's become this huge thing. Who could have possibly imagined that? You know, even the English speaking people singing the song in Welsh. That's brilliant.
Well, I remember when you came and we were doing our church had this little place in Paris. You remember a place called Genesis, and you came there and you performed and you had a harpist that was playing.
That's right, Howell, yeah.
Yeah, I think that night it was a woman.
Sonia
Powell would play
something,
with
maybe.
you often, but I
Yeah.
think there was a woman this night.
Okay.
But anyway, and you did that song, but before you did it, you had this introduction, this long introduction that was really good and very funny. And on the video I took, I remember it's
I
just
remember that video.
annoying me laughing all through this whole thing.
There were good days. There was some funny times. There was a certain innocence to the whole thing, which I enjoyed,
Yes, there was. But
and
I
now
remember
we're
later,
old.
yes, we are. And I remember you saying that you got some flack from people because if they thought you were taking or being
Dist
irreverent about the.
disrespectful. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah,
It was on
yeah.
YouTube or somewhere. I can't remember. Maybe I
Yes.
remember where the
Yeah,
video was.
I think I put it on YouTube
That's right.
and I ended up taking it down because I didn't want you getting people hating
Oh,
you.
just, if you've still got the video, we'll put it back up at the end of this one. That'd be really good.
Was great. It was really good.
And just to fast forward, at that time we were talking about reconciliation, you know,
Yes.
Welsh, English, and what was happening with you in America. I don't know if you heard that last week or 2 weeks ago, Wales became the first country in Europe to elect a black prime minister.
Oh, really?
Which I mean, he's possibly corrupt. I don't really like the guy, and his politics kind of suck. But
Yeah, it's not automatically a good thing, but I mean, it's interesting. Yeah.
that says something, and I think that's pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah.
And I had somebody this morning who said to me, "Oh, it's such a shame that every time they talk about it, they say he's the first black prime minister. Can't they
Yeah.
just say he's the new prime minister?" I said, "Yeah, but when it's the first time, I mean, with Obama, it was, you know, you're not going to avoid saying it
Yeah.
when it's the first time."
I mean, it's a thing. It's a thing. You know, it's the same thing if. When a woman gets elected in certain places, if it's the first time, we're going to talk about it. It's dumb that it's a thing, but it is. And I
But
mean,
but not the second time or
it's,
third time.
I mean, I don't know what percentage of Wales is black. I'm imagining not a lot, right?
Depends where you are in the south, probably,
Okay.
basically where there are cities and industry and a reason for people to go there, basically, you know. Maybe 8%, 10%, and then it's less up in the north, you
Okay, well, that's close to what it is in the States. So, I mean, I think African Americans are about 11%, I think, in the
Okay.
States. I think. Don't quote me on that, but it's something like that.
So reconciliation was the subject that we talked about all those years ago. Are we still there, or are we in something else now?
No, that's good. So I was talking about that. We were talking about the States. Yeah. So I remember at that time, we were on that night, the night, your famous night you're talking
Oh
about
God!
when
Oh no! Please, going to cut this bit out.
I think I was in the middle of working on, at that time I had kind of developed a seminar
Right.
about reconciliation. And the whole thing was, I did it in churches, but I was trying to do something that was not tied to religion, you know, that wasn't tied to. So it came with these ideas about, you know, reconciliation being when there's repentance and forgiveness and they meet, but that both sides have to happen before there can be reconciliation, you know. But how we often talk about forgiveness way more than repentance, like the recognizing, and the whole idea was that repentance, the problem with repentance is that people see it as a religious idea, you know, and it really isn't. It doesn't need to be. It's just about looking and seeing. And because in these things, these cultural things that we do, the big, whether it be sexism or racism or, you know, homophobia, anything like that, the big thing that we do is we don't look. You know, we don't want to see what we've done. You know, we don't want to see what we did to people. We don't want to see what we did because, and not just us personally, but our ancestors or whatever, we don't want to see it because it makes us feel bad. And but if we don't look at it, if we don't see it, then we can't reject it. You know, we can't say that was bad. So it's not so much saying, yeah, I remember somebody saying to me, you know, what am I supposed to do about slavery? You know, I didn't hold any slaves. You know, I recognize that slavery is bad. I wouldn't do that. But you want me to do to repent for something that my great great grandfather did. And one of the things we would say is that it's not, you can't do anything about what they did, but what we do is we realize that we're handed things from our ancestors. And one of the things we're handed is values and attitudes. And so repentance is simply saying this thing that I was handed, whether I know it or not, when I look and see this stuff that I say no and I reject it and put it and say I don't receive that, you know. So, you know, and so it like as a I'm sure I remember you doing classes where you taught Welsh.
Long
I don't know
time
if you
ago.
did that at Genesis a little bit.
No,
I can't.
it was in the Green Linnet, I think, in
Oh
Paris. It
yes.
was like
Yes, it
once
was.
every 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Or
It's the same neighborhood, right? Right around the corner from Genesis.
if I
Yeah.
remember correctly, yeah, it was near Shetland.
And but anyway, when you're doing that, I'm sure like there's all these cultural things that have been handed to you that you're proud of, you know? And I would often say to people, it's like those things that you're proud of, great. You take those things and you hold them and you say, this is a good thing I've been given. And then there's things that you get and you're like, ah, that one's not so good.
That's
And
true. That's true.
it's just a question of saying, this thing I'm going to reject. And that's, you know, you don't have to reject everything, but you reject the things that are not good so that you don't carry those on and pass them on. And but anyway, there seems to have been a movement now of people refusing to look. There's been like this backlash where it's like people are saying, okay, enough looking, you know?
Yeah. It's not my fault.
And
It was somebody else, and I'm fed up of talking about this and da 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 da. It's
right.
all woke. Everything is woke. I don't like it.
Exactly.
And that, yeah.
Right.
So
And so it's,
where does that take us? What if we extrapolate this? Where are we headed?
well, that's a really good question. So like I used to go this seminar that I put together then, I remember in so it would have been what 15 years ago or something like that in Ohio in a conservative white church. I
Good
put
luck
on
with
the
that.
seminar and talked about these things. I showed pictures during the seminar of black men hanging in a tree.
The ones you showed me, that's right, I remember
Yes.
that. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, with a whole bunch of people standing around smi with smiles on their face and
Yeah.
their kids on their shoulders and, you know, posing. And I showed that picture, which was a really hard image to look at. And people, and I told them the point of this story, the point of showing you this is not to make you feel bad. The point is to say, I identify with those black men hanging up in the tree. When I look at it, I can't help but see myself in the tree. But when you look at it, can you, do you identify with those people out there? And most people were saying no. And then I said, this is the struggle we have, because I can't help but see myself there. And when I see them, I see you.
And how did they react to that? Did anybody react positively and kind of engage a dialogue, or were people just kind of rejecting it?
A couple of people had a hard time with it, but then when they realized that I wasn't saying, I'm saying that you would do this, I'm saying I can't help but look at you and see you in those people. And so when you say, I reject that, it's important because then I can say, oh, this person doesn't agree with them. That person values those men in the tree. And that means that person values me. But if you don't reject it, if you say that's not me, those people were bad, but that's not me, then it's like it doesn't allow me to have trust in our relationship.
Did you in your seminar, did you build up to pictures like that, or was it straight in with the
Yeah, it was
hardest
definitely
stuff?
no, it was definitely built up. There was this whole, presenting of ideas, and then we worked through it. And but at the end of this thing, it was amazing. Like, people would come up and they would cry, and they would, we had people, wanting to pray together, and just it was really strong.
You got the whiskey
But
out.
we did get the whiskey out. These are not whiskey people.
Okay, sorry.
But at the, like, right now, today, if I went back in Ohio and tried to do that same thing, most of those churches would not have me. They would want to throw me out and tell me that I was woke, and
And
that this was,
inflammatory, and yeah.
and this was like, what is that stuff called? The
Black Lives Matter.
well, that, but then there's this whole shoot, what's the name of it? It's a theory that's taught in
The great replacement or something. Oh,
critical
critical.
race theory.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, they would say this is critical race theory, da 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 da. So it's almost like we were offering a. It's almost like people have been inoculated to hearing about repentance now. It's like they're before now they can't hear it, and they won't look, and they won't see it, and
Because
so that.
the sirens have been saying, "Don't worry anymore. It's not your fault. It wasn't you. It was somebody else. Stop thinking about it." But does it? I mean, obviously the devil's advocate, so allow me to ask naive questions. But does it still exist today in the same way, in the same places, to the same extent? The racism that you see in that picture, or has it morphed into
Well,
something else?
this is the struggle with this. Like, it's not the same. Obviously, we're not lynching people for the most part anymore. Things have changed. We did have a black president. We had, in a lot of ways, things have changed. But in a lot of ways, this, the fear is that this attitude, the attitude that allowed us to change, we're now moving away from.
Now you talked about 9/11, but do you think is it because of that still? Is it the kind of the waves of that which are making this happen, or is it something else?
I do think there's something of the fear that came in. There's a, there's that fear of losing what used to be. I think it's, I think there's a gut feeling that before things were better, and before we started doing all this stuff, before all these foreigners started coming in, before all these woke stuff started, things were better. And now it's getting worse. Now, look what's happening. And then you have politicians that stoke that and play off of that.
It's a shame
And
we have to label everything. I can't help thinking that people talk about political correctness, and then just being decent people. And you were talking about reconciliation stuff, but now everything has been put in this bag called woke, whether it's positive or negative or well-meant or stupid. And it's too easy to say, "Oh, that's woke," which.
And that was done on purpose. That's one thing is people were very purposeful about this. I can't remember the guy's name, but there was a guy who they've interviewed him, and he was the guy who kind of made a point of saying, we've got to drill down on this and hit hard with it. If we can repackage all of this stuff as woke and say this is the evil thing and make people afraid of it, then and they've used it and they've turned it into a political winner. And it's, I don't know where it goes.
So,
I'm not a I've been around enough different people. I've been in different countries, been in to know that, there's good people in all these things, and most people are not evil, and most people are not wishing to harm other people. But most people can be manipulated pretty easily on all sides of things.
Because people are
And
people.
so I don't know. I don't know where things go from here.
It's cool to be older, isn't it? I mean, I'm 52. I guess you're not too far away. A bit.
I'm 58.
That's not too far away. It's in the same. It's not. It starts with F. As long as it still starts with F, we're okay. And this, it's a stereotype, a cliche, but there is
Is
this
that
kind
the
of.
F in the WTF? Is
It could be. We need to discover. We need to find what that is. Woke something. 50s or something. Woke the 50s. Woke Todd 58. There you go. Woke Todd 58. That's what we'll call it. No, I won't call you woke. There is a kind of a not wisdom, but because you've lived 1,000 lives, and because we've done this and been there and lived there and everything, and spoken to thousands and thousands of people, you do kind of chill out and kind of. Rub off the edges that were a bit kind of,
Sure.
because we were sensitive about stuff, and today we would just say, "Oh, it doesn't it doesn't matter because we've been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt." One thing that kind of pleases me about Wales, the situation in Wales since we spoke, at the time we spoke, there was a big kind of because of, I mean, because racism is in both directions, so Wales was all about defending itself against. An external influence, and
Which
people
was
who's,
the English.
which was especially the English language and the British state, if you like, but especially the language. So there was a great kind of rejection of if you were a native speaker of Welsh, you were probably in certain areas in corners of Wales. There's still a lot of people, but not everywhere. Now Welsh is taught in most schools, the idea being that if kids can all be one day bilingual, then you don't have that political kind of thing. And the culture is following, so people want to speak Welsh, and there are more and more Welsh speakers, which is good.
Sounds great.
And independence is on the table in the sense that when we spoke, I think it was like 5 or 7% of people would say, "Yes, I would vote for Welsh independence." And last year it was up to 39%. And something like 70% of young people up to 25 years old. So there's a really cool young Wales, which is open-minded and speaking Welsh and speaking English, or having without a chip on their shoulder about it. So I'm happy about
So it's not like a separatist kind of, like a nativist movement.
No, it's more.
Sometimes it's a very closed kind of thing, but this is more of a
It's the
an
total opposite. Yeah, it's if they,
that's
I
really
think
interesting.
Wales, not Welsh people individually, but Wales as a kind of an entity sees itself as the equivalent of the Netherlands or Slovenia or Estonia. So it's pl placing itself as, we've got a bigger population or the same, the surface area is the same. We've got a language, we've got a flag, we've got a prime minister, we've got all this kind of stuff. We don't need the UK anymore because they're just bringing us down and da da da. So I think I think it's a positive kind of, we'll see what happens. But as it's the younger generation kind of pushing it, I think that's really cool. Yeah. So that's my positive final word. Give me yours.
Well, I think that probably the young people, sometimes I feel bad when I look at my kids are all around 30 now, which is
Wow.
like blowing me
That, yeah,
away.
that's just freaked me out. Yeah. I was at your son's 13th birthday.
Yes, you were. And so, he's married now. He's 30. And sometimes I think, boy, this world we are giving these kids, the world that we've handed over to them. I feel like, we were born into this. I feel like for me, I was born into this little sweet spot where our minds were opening and we were seeing this, all this potential for change and
The
potential
early
for,
90s, yeah.
And then it's like, what in the world happened? What did we do? And so I'm like, they've got global warming, they've got wars happening and potential wars, and I mean, I guess depending on where you are on the globe, it's always been like that. But and anyway, but sometimes I look and I think maybe it's the younger people who haven't been saddled with some of the stuff that we all came with, that and somehow this global thing that they have, it's a double-edged thing. They, on the one hand, the internet connects them to all these things, and on the other hand, it connects them to some horrible stuff. And these, and
Too
so
much
I don't
information there,
know.
no.
Yeah,
Barrage of information.
I don't know where it goes, but I have to think that maybe they figure something out that we didn't. And maybe this is how there's this ebb and flow kind of thing where, there's this sense of progress and stuff, and then maybe certain things get pushed in a way that pushes people too far, and then there's a backlash.
That's right.
And maybe there's going to be a backlash to the backlash, and we'll keep on going. I don't know.
Well, that's kind of optimistic because that would, I like the idea of keeping on going. We were going somewhere. It was getting better. Mentalities were changing. But now it could be a generational thing. I mean, I don't want to generalize too much, but for example, there was the boomer or the boomer generations, because there were like two just after the war in 64. And the people kind of in control now or just about to kind of retire or whatever is these guys. But the whole kind of Generation X, I get the feeling that with a few exceptions, we're still waiting for our time.
Yes,
And
exactly.
maybe when our time comes, or maybe we just don't care, we're just happy to have a drink, watch TV and watch the Browns, but
I'm
if
60
every
now, and
kid
I'm
knew
like, yeah, when's our time? And I'm like, oh, wait.
well, you're way too young to be president.
It's true. It's true. I've got another 25 years before it's time for me to be president.
Oh wow, Todd, it's been really, really good talking to you. Thank you for
Too.
coming on, and we've got to do this again earlier than 17 years.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
Thanks for having me, Jim.